truth, the power of truth. And today is the 14th of January, 2018. January 14th. The Bible says, well, I want to get into a couple other things first. When Pablo was over in Chile, he just got back and he was telling some of his friends that he doesn't have any head over him. There's no man over him. And that is a good answer. And I thought, but you know what? That's not the way the church sees it today. That's almost false, or what's the word? It's not blasphemy, but it's almost false doctrine. And yet, according to the scriptures, it says in Hebrews 11:3, or in 1 Corinthians 11:3, first in verse 1, it says that Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And then he goes down into verse 3 and says, the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. And so anyway, what it does, it puts us in a different dimension, because we have begun to understand, what we were down to, the Promise Keepers, I think they said, every man needs another man over him. Well, yes, we do, but it's got to be the right man. And it has to be Christ. And so I don't want to put my trust in men, because men are not trustworthy. And then the other thing that we mentioned this morning was the fact that when you study money to find the counterfeits, you don't study the counterfeit, you study the real money. And is it not the same thing with the Word of God? You want to find a false doctrine, you study the Word of God. And people don't do that. They study their false doctrine and their precepts and their creeds and doctrine and traditions. And so Jesus told the Jews, he said, you make the Word of God of no effect by your traditions that you keep. Well, meaning what? Meaning that the Word had become corrupted by their traditions, and so the power was missing. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and that's what it says to King James. And I'm not sure how the rest of them, but I'm sure it's pretty much the same. However, and unbeknownst to the vast majority of Bible readers, is that what it is talking about here is the Word of God in an incorruptible state. You know what? It took me a while. Why doesn't God answer our prayers? We read the Bible and we quote the scriptures and we say, well, you know what? God made this promise. He'll keep it. And he doesn't keep it. But you know what? He does keep it. If it's in an incorruptible state, he will keep the promise. And what most Bible readers fail to see is that the devil, his main objective is to somehow corrupt God's words within the hearts and the minds of those who read it. So, when Pilate said to Jesus, he said, well, what is truth? And anyway, I kind of understand what he's saying. He was saying, whose truth? He should have said, well, whose truth are you talking about? Is it the king's truth or whose truth are, you know? See, a long time ago, I was given the understanding that truth is actually what God meant by what he said. And I still stand by it, because that's what truth is. Well, maybe well-meaning men, you know, read passages of the scripture and are convinced that they are able to correctly discern what God really meant. However, what men fail to realize, or may not even be able to know, is the effect that the God of this world may have already had upon their ability to understand the eternal words of the one who created all things. And so here's the devil. And while we're doing our thing, he's at work. And he's twisting our minds and our hearts. And he's causing us to see things from a wrong slant. These are not thoughts that originated 30 years ago, the Bible. They didn't come 30 years ago. But rather, forever and ever. That's why the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will remain forever. Because it's been here forever. And what changes the nature of these words in relationship to the ability of the created so as to understand. See, we are created beings. And just about every time I pray, I said, Lord, I know who I am. I'm a creation. Help me remember that I'm a creation. And so that unless I think that I'm something else, I'm not. I'm a creation. I was made by you. And so I want you to do in me what you created me to be. See, while men may think that they are intelligent or wise and prudent, the truth is that the God of this world, the devil, has trained professionals who create or cause most of this world people to suffer in their ability to understand the things of God. He has trained professionals. They're in the churches, in most of them. As such, men of today need special education with a special education instructor. You know, when Brittany, she's very intelligent, but she was having a little difficulty when she was small. And we took her to, what was it? Remember that little thing down it's down by Gulf Avenue. There's a place that we took her to for special education. The teachers that men have set up are not bringing about the desired results. What God set us up to do is not happening. As such, Hebrews 4:13, I think I mentioned that this morning, tells us, and I have kind of itemized or shortened this a little bit, that the result of men's ministry should be, we should see unity, true knowledge of the Son, with the result being perfected men under the same measure as the fullness of Christ. And then in verse 14, this is in Hebrews 4:14, that we no longer be as ignorant children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with a variety of doctrines by the deceiving power of men and demons. And in verse 15, but receive a love for the truth. Because they received not a love for the truth in 2 Thessalonians, they couldn't be saved. Then only speak that truth in love and not in a prideful attempt to prove some inherited tradition. See, that's not what we are to do. And so wise and prudent, intelligent, or as the scripture says, science falsely so called, men and women who have been well trained on how to prove their private interpretations by the eternal Word of God, delight in scriptural debates. We used to have, the community chapel was famous. They're Bible answer men, you know. And I used to think, oh my, I wouldn't want to argue against these guys. They have been well trained. And as they argue the accuracy of what they believe to be over and above any other doctrine. What they think they have is it. See, churchgoers want the power and the authority. However, they're not usually interested in God's means of heaven. God wants us to have it too. And this is the thing that we have gone kind of around in circles in this church as well. And as such, in Acts 1:8, we are told that we will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And then in the rest of the book of Acts, we are shown how the Holy Spirit comes upon people. The book of Acts is the illustration. God showed us this is how it happens. However, some don't want to get it that way. And so they insist there must be some other way. And whenever people insist there must be some other way, we got problems. Or they got problems. And so over the years, I have read some strange ideas as to how people think they received the Holy Spirit, or think they did receive it. And which makes me think of Shelley's statement. And I've said this a number of times. How is that working for you? You know what I mean? How is that working for you? Is the Acts 1:8 power in your life? Or have you let the devil convince you that God is not the same today as he used to be? He's not the same as he was in the book of Acts. And yet, Peter said in the book of Acts, he says, this promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That kind of includes about everybody I can think of. And so, they say, well, we don't need the power of God so as to have faith in God, even though Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 4, or 2, 4, and 5, that the manifestation of God's power causes the right kind of faith. The Word of God builds faith. You don't need faith for a lot of things, but if you want the right kind of faith, it's because you see the manifestation of God's power. And are we not warned that in the last days, this is in 2 Timothy, that men will have a form of godliness? You've heard me say that lots of times. But will deny the power. Now, I looked up the word deny. And it kind of means that they, whether they even believe in it or not, they say, no, I don't believe, you know, I don't accept it. I can't accept it. And so then it tells us in the end of the fifth verse, it says, from such turn away. So are we not supposed to turn away from or avoid those with that mindset? See, I was spoiled by God, if that's the right way to put it, because right after I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Acts 1:8, the power to witness in the healing power of the Holy Spirit began to manifest itself within us and others who had the same experience. It wasn't just us that were praying for people and seeing them healed. There was a number of other people who had received the Holy Spirit like we did. And, however, years went by before God began to bring me back to the real serious state. And I'm really beginning to understand that. The first thing I heard of when the voice spoke and said, if you're really serious. And I thought, well, if anybody's serious, it's me. And then as I got looking at the thing, I realized, not really. Not to the scriptural standpoint. Not to the position that God's talking about. I began to not only turn back to the fundamental basics of God's Word, and that's what we are turning back to, but myself and others began to take God through His Word seriously, as Chuck would say, and allow God to begin to convert us over or back to the mental state of little hungry children. That's kind of what's happened to me. I told people, I said, in reality, I'm about 8 years old, maybe. And we began to see and hear the Holy Word of God as an eternal life substance. See, that's what's happened. And so as we began to see the way that God has set things up so as to find Him, and therefore truth, you can't find God without finding truth. You can't find truth unless you find God, because God is truth. It has become obvious that God has never put any of these vital things into the hands of men, who usually don't have the discerning ability to tell which spirit they themselves are of. You don't know what spirit you're of. Remember, Jesus told his own disciples. They said, why don't you call down fire from heaven and burn up the city? And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And so, as such, you know, the same thing in the fourth chapter of John. In 1 John 4, 1 through 3, which I quote often, if it is right, and it is, then there are an awful lot of false prophets that are at large. There's a lot of them out here. I think we're in the restaurant today, and over at Culver's, and a few ministers came in that I know, and I questioned of what the spirit they're of. I got a right to, don't I? I just questioned within myself, but it's like, what spirit are they of? But anyway, God has let us know that no man really knows what God wants us to know about himself. No man really knows. No man really knows, see? No man knows the things of God. No man knows the things of God. It says that. No man knows the things of God. And it's like, you mean not even Don Burnett? Johnny Tanberg? Some of the people that I'm familiar with? You mean they didn't really know? You know what? They didn't. And so we're hearing these strange things. Well, Jesus, he has a dual nature. Sometimes he speaks as God, sometimes he speaks as man. What about the scriptures that where he said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak? Where does that fit in? Or is that not true? But anyway, God has let us know that no man really knows what God wants us to know about himself. And yet, eternal life is to somehow know things about God that are impossible to know. We can't know, but if we don't know, we might not make it into heaven. Isn't that a dilemma? That is a real dilemma. So what do we do? However, in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it tells us that no man knows the things of God. No, 1 Corinthians 2:11. Except the Spirit of God. And Jesus told us that Spirit, John 16:13, is able to guide men into all truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you. You know what a guide is? They hire a guide to take people down the river to go fishing and stuff. Well, you know what? Without him, they probably wouldn't catch anything. And with him, they're going to catch stuff, but that's very expensive. So when he comes, he will guide men into all truth. Would not the word all mean even into the hidden things about God that God wants us to know? And see, that has been my understanding in my prayer. It's like, Lord, I know I'm supposed to know you. And yet, it says here that no man knows you. So if I'm supposed to know you, then you're going to have to make it possible. You're going to have to show me what that means. And if Jesus Christ was the expressed image of the invisible God, what did he express? See, there's hidden things. And the Son has declared unto us, in John 1:18, see, the Son has declared unto us the things about God. And in John 1:18, and then the Holy Spirit will take of the words or the declarations of God through Christ and allow us into the hidden areas of God. Isn't that kind of what it says? His nature, his thoughts, his ways. And of course, I don't really know. It only appears that it's like that. That's what it appears from the scriptures. And especially since Peter told us that by the intake, how else? How else would it be except by the intake of God's word, of God's incorruptible thoughts, we could become partakers of God's divine nature? What is going to happen? what's happening to me? My thoughts are changing. And one of the areas where my thoughts are changing is in the thought area of faith. I'm thinking more in the realm of faith. And I heard somebody else say that this morning. I don't know who it was. It's like faith is beginning to materialize. It's beginning to be produced in us. See, somehow we must come to the place where we somehow actually believe that God really is. It says, he that comes to God must first believe that he is. It doesn't say the word first. I get bawled out for that by somebody all the time when I say use the word first. It doesn't say that. If you're going to come to God, you must believe that God is. It's not a first part of it, you know. And then the second part, which is vital. And we must also believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I diligently seek him, I will be rewarded. I also have to believe Psalms 1, begin the very beginning, that I'm going to be blessed if my delight is in God's word and I meditate on it day and night. You know what's happening? I am being blessed. You know what's happening to you? You're being blessed. You know how I know? I can hear it. I can see it. See, men will never become really serious about the things of God unless they become totally convinced that he is. Plus, the faith ingredient has to somehow become a part of man's makeup. However, faith comes as the eternal word of God somehow is allowed to have the proper access to us, but it has to be the incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. This won't make me real popular. Of course, a lot of the things I say probably don't. However, just like in Jesus' day, there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing and a lot of the devil's ministers of false righteousness who run around, and a lot of churches where men can actually be led into the same spirit that deceived Eve. The church, as far as I'm concerned, for the most part, is dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be because it is a subtle introduction by most churches into the ways of the devil. When we were in that church in Seattle, that place was a place of demons. And here's what is the problem. Men are told that they are hearing the truth, but when they fill their souls full of private interpretations and false doctrines, it will cause them to be ever learning 2 Timothy 3:7, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that important, that we have the knowledge of the truth? I had a conversation quite some time ago with a fellow that, I can't remember what his name was, it doesn't matter, but anyway, he said that in the end, God is going to save everybody. And the reason is verses like the one that we got on the board. God's will is for all men to be saved. If that's God's will, all men will be saved. Can you make any logic out of that? I can't. But see, When your neighbor, you know why people are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they're not hearing it. It's just like those in the Amos 8:11 famine for the hearing of God's word. That's a strange setting. God says, I am going to cause a famine to come upon the church or upon people. They're going to be trying to hear my word, but they can't. They're going to go from the east to the north and the sea to sea and the... They're going to try to hear my word, and I'm not going to let them. They travel all over the world, from convention to convention, to hear God's word, which only the Holy Spirit is able to teach accurately. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will take a mind and show it to you. And because men fall for the devil's inspired, wise and prudent, enticing words, by those that were never sent by God. Amos 8:12 says, "Man shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." That's what God said. He sent a famine for the hearing of the word. And when men run to and fro to hear the word, they're not going to find it. However, the devil will probably make them think that they did find it. I mean, see, the Jewish leaders were sure that they were right. I mean, certainly, if Jesus was the promised Messiah, he would recognize and elevate these elite Sadducees and Pharisees and so forth. See, the devil got them thinking that they were above the criticism of anyone. They were right. I mean, does that sound familiar? I was taught that pastors and the pyramid structure, leadership structure, was above the criticism of men. I was taught that. And so church leaders are taught that they are God's anointed, and therefore, doesn't the Bible say, "Touch not God's anointed"? Somewhere? I'm not even sure where it says that. And therefore, the only ones that they are able to discipline them are other deceived leaders just like themselves. Deceived leaders disciplining other deceived leaders. So if they discipline them, what are they going to discipline them? How are they going to... What is their judgment going to be? Their own false concepts. Won't they? You're wrong because you don't agree with us. And so, a lot of us thought that church leaders in community chapel were set up in such a way so that the top one, if the top one got out of order, then the senior elder could step in and correct it. You know what? Not so. See, if the head of an organization gets deceived by the devil, he won't usually know it, but will think the rest became deceived. And that's what happened. And thereby, he goes down fighting. And how good men are at justifying their condition. They're not good men, but how good men are at justifying their condition. And of course, most people are not going to accept correction from those they don't have a lot of respect for, and yours truly. If I don't have respect for them, don't try to correct me. And it's just normal. And so in Ephesians 5:21, it tells men to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's a different thing. You submit to one another. In other words, you don't elevate yourself above them. And that is usually understood today as the least submitting to the greatest. But that's not the case. From my own perspective today, I'm not real anxious to submit to those that I know are in false doctrine. And is it getting after a while, you get so you know more and more about who is and who isn't? That's called discernment. Jesus said, "My mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it." So, if I'm going to choose a mother and some brethren, wouldn't I kind of look for those that are like the ones that Jesus had? Your mother and your brethren are here to see you. My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Isn't that kind of what I'm looking for? Or do it. And as such, when we do find such a people, those we need to submit to. However, when I see church leaders who are subject to an organization more than to God, then they need to try and counsel someone who doesn't know what I have learned from God's word. I've learned you don't listen. That's not the counsel I want. I got thinking about something today. We're out having lunch with Glenn and Barb. And I got thinking about the thing, you know, if you want to find a church, there's lots of them. Go find one. But if you want to find the kingdom of heaven, and if you want to find the the thing that God built, the place that God made, then you've got to go to Him. You can't find it through the church because they don't know. We are warned about the end time condition of the church. And again, in 2 Timothy 3. And we are now smack dab in the middle of something that's just like it. And as vital as the manifestation of God's power is to real Christianity, 1 Corinthians 2, 5, in 2 Timothy 3, 5, it says that men will deny the power, and yet it tells us in the same book, or in Corinthians, that this is vital to men's faith, is to see the manifestation of God's power. And it is a sign of God's kingdom. Remember what Jesus said? He said, this is in Luke 11:20, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, it is the evidence that God's kingdom is come upon you. So for a short time, we saw the evidence in an immature state. We're going to see a lot, but our deliverance is going to be better. It's going to be stronger because our faith is going to be stronger. To deny is to say that something does not or never did exist. I mean, that's kind of what they said. They denied God's power. It never did exist. And a lot of churchgoers today try to say, that something... wait a minute. That the power of expressions from God were only used to start God's church. They were temporary. They had no ongoing purpose. But today they have no purpose. And so why do they say that? Why do churches deny that they have a purpose today? And if a lot of, especially fundamentals when it comes to speaking in tongues. Because the vast majority of churchgoers are natural-minded and carnal. And they see the real power expressions of God as foolishness. Isn't that what it says? And so, rather than deal with the vast number of scriptures that express God's power and the reasons why, just pretend it's not there. Just pretend it's not there. And write off the scriptures that they don't feel that applies to them. Just write them, ignore them. And decide that sections that they don't agree with should never be in the Bible. Remember that Vernon McGee fellow that was used to bring... I heard him say at least once, and I used to listen to him, that the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians has no reason to even be in the Bible. That was a mistake. The truth is that the Acts presentation of receiving the Holy Spirit power from God was carefully revealed and established in God's Word for a purpose. This promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Unbeknownst to a vast number who say that they go by the Bible, they don't. They really don't. Because the whole counsel of God in Acts 20:27, or in Matthew 4:4, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, makes everything written in the Bible apply to every one of God's creation that reads it. You can't read any part of it and not have truth involved. Of course, and this is all, it all gets strange, but faith clears up the picture that God wants men to see. True faith only comes by the intake of God's Word in an incorruptible state. And since it really is God's Word, then when it is left in an incorruptible state, it will, by the power of God's Spirit, cause men to believe God's Word and believe that God is real. There is a power in that Word that is phenomenal. There's the power of God's truth that is in His Word. So I want the truth. Lord, so when you pray, what do you pray? Lord, help. That's a good place to start. I'm a creation. you have given me promises that don't make any sense, but they are in your scripture, in your word. So make these take effect in me somehow. And so take the word of God through Christ and thereby cause man to draw close to God. And as a result, somehow get to know the Father and the Son and become partakers of God's divine nature. Isn't that what I want? It is no wonder the devil works so hard to try and change the unchangeable word. See, not one jot or tittle of God's word is subject to change. But wait a minute. Not one jot or tittle of the incorruptible word. Not when men have been allowed or when they've taken it upon themselves to add their 2 cents worth. Just like we were listening to the scriptures this morning. This is still in the King James. And I heard 1 John 5:7. The only place that that verse exists as such is in the King James. And it says something about God and the Word and the Spirit, or in something, all agree. And anyway, and so what happened, because it's not in the original manuscripts anywhere, what they've done is people have changed it in other translations. So they've used 6 and 8 and divided all 3 of them and come out and put 7 in the middle with the right, with a better translation. And so the Word of God is perfect as is, which only also means that men are to read it and hear it only and not try to change anything about it. And isn't that not what intellectual people do? I need to change it. I see some obvious mistakes. I need to correct these mistakes. And so Jesus says, unless you become converted and become as little children. The little children don't try to correct anything. Mary was not trying to correct the words of Jesus. Jesus says she has chosen the good part. And it won't be taken away from her. See, the devil, who knows there is but one God and trembles, it says in James, also has discovered the prideful weaknesses within men, and which causes men to analyze and critique God's word rather than hear it as babes and sucklings. And so he feeds the minds of men with the books that he inspires other men to write. We were in that bookstore in north of Seattle, and after a while I told Joanna, I said, you know what, I think that the Mormons own this place. And so the girl was behind the counter, and there's Christian books all over the place. I said, is this a Mormon bookstore? And she said, yeah. She was a Mormon. And so we looked through, and all of the books were at eye level were Mormon. See? And so anyway, the devil inspires people or men to write, and he gets their own intelligence to destroy them. And so men who discern by their natural senses become self-appointed experts on the word that created them. They become experts on the word that created them and was spoken by the one whose ways are past finding out. That's what it says about God. It says his ways are past finding out. And I think, lots of luck. And so men falsely assume that they are really able to use their natural intelligence so as to comprehend spiritual words of truth. Okay, the natural man understanding spiritual truth. What are the chances that are actually only able to be revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, who is Spirit? See, God is all-powerful to the point that with God all things are possible. But John 1:1 tells us that the Word was God. It says the Word was with God and the Word was God. Was the Word God? Was it really God? And so when it says that Jesus was the expressed image of the invisible God and that God put his Word within the mouth of Christ, and Jesus said that he only spoke what the Father told him to speak, and the end of the thing was and is that the son eventually had no word of his own, which made him everything that Christ said perfect. If all he said was what God told him to say, could you find fault with his words? I don't want to be the one that does. And so in Luke 4:36, it says people were amazed, and they said when they heard him and he was casting out devils, they said, what a word is this? All he did was speak the word. He didn't grab them by their feet and shake them until the demons fell out. He just said, come out of them. And they said, what kind of a word is this? Or when he spoke to the sea and it got calm, they said, what kind of a word is this? Where did he get those words? Well, anyway, and so it says, with authority and power, he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they came out. Now listen, the word of God is the divine and inner thoughts and the heart of God. Okay? Now, in Hebrews 10:28, it says, are you ready? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. They better be good witnesses. Those who despise Moses' law died without mercy just by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Verse 29. Are you ready? How much sorer punishment, then, shall he be thought worthy who trods underfoot the Son of God and counts the blood of the covenant an unholy thing? And I thought at the same time, what about the words of God through Christ? God spoke to the Father through Moses. What about the words of God through Christ? How much more, then? Yeah, are you following me? If they died by the mouth of two or three witnesses, and so, see, since God hides vital things from the intelligent and reveals them to the non-intelligent, that should give us a clue as to what God thinks about men's ability to come up with vital revelations and truth, shouldn't it? Is that the way it is? He hides it from the intelligent, and then he reveals it to the non-intelligent. I tell you what, if I considered myself intelligent, I'd be offended by that. Why do you suppose the Holy Spirit was given by God so as to guide men into all truth in John 16:13? Because no man, not even the intelligent Don Burnett, who invented parts that are on the 747 that you see, whenever you see it fly over, there are parts of that 747 that were invented by Don Burnett. But you know what? But he still didn't have the ability to understand the things of God. Because no man is able to know the things of God, in 1 Corinthians 2:11, only the Holy Spirit. And so men travel all over the world, like I said in Amos 8:11-12, to hear the real word of God as taught by the enticing words of ignorant intellectuals. Are you getting a feeling like I got? I don't like the feeling I get from this. They said they travel all over the world. What to do what? They're in conventions to hear the word of God. You know what God said? They're not going to hear it. I'm not going to let them. And if he's not going to let them, lots of luck. Lots of luck. If God puts his foot down, I don't want to be there. He won't let them find it. And why? It only works his way. And that's the revelation that we got to get. Things only work God's way. Not my will, but your will be done. It only works your way. It only works his way. So I have come to the conclusion that if men want eternal life, if they want real salvation, they need to only hear God's word and then only allow the Holy Spirit to reveal that word to them, which is a real act of faith. That's what's happening to us. I can't say that I understood all of this when it started happening, but I have put myself in a place. I said, Lord, I want revelation by the Spirit. I don't want to try to come up with something and try to second guess and come up with my own intellect, because I don't have it. And again, in the Ephesians 4:11, fivefold ministry that most churches claim to have, it only works as those that are really filled with the Holy Spirit minister God's truth to others. If they're not, you know, the Baptists have the fivefold ministry, the Pentecostals have it, the Lutherans have it. I mean, just about every church denomination has the fivefold ministry. What are they doing? It's not making men free. It's not bringing unity. Because that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to bring unity. But when ministers promote false doctrines, then we have what we have today. And so many spend a lifetime trying to prove their false doctrine as they twist God's holy word of truth to prove it. And see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is known as the teaching rain. I don't know. I think we all know that. And so in Isaiah 28:9, it says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? In verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he teach this people. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was called the teaching rain. And wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you that rule this people. This is in verse 15. Who have made lies your refuge and hide under false doctrines. This is in Isaiah 28. Does it kind of get a little bit more on the nitty-gritty after a while? And after a while, I like company, but I don't have to have it. All I got to have is God's company. And that's what you guys got to get. We got to get there. They could torch this place one day. And if they don't, I'll be surprised. So we better get a lot of fire extinguisher handy here. That won't do us any good.